Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is sponsored by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 20% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code Android10.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 29, recorded on Monday, October 10th, 2011. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Owl.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And we're live from the O'Reilly Android Open Conference.
That's very exciting.
Got a little crowd here. There's a lot of energy. It's a good conference.
Great. Everybody's buzzing. Yeah. I'm really hyped up on coffee.
I know. We're a little
great.
Hyper.
Yeah. And I'd like to welcome back to the show Brady Forrest of O'Reilly Media.
Hey,
co-chair of the event.
Good to have you back.
Thanks for accepting the invitation to come.
Yes.
Thanks for extending an invitation to come.
Let's all pat each other's back.
We're all friends here.
We're like before the show. We're like, we're totally not worthy, but okay. All right, we'll do it. No, this is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And also co-chair, Marco Garganta. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This has been a great event so far. We've been here all morning, Jason and I, and attending from the very beginning, the first keynote, and many panels afterwards. How are you both feeling?
How are you doing? Here is the end of day two, actually.
I was going to go upstairs and pass out right after this.
It's been a long day.
We're pretty psyched. I mean, it's a great first show. Lots of good energy. We're looking at 500 people.
Wow.
And, you know, lots of great talks today. Yeah. I'm looking forward to bringing on some of our speakers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
To hear from them.
It's been exciting. I mean, we've been working on this for many, many months, and to see everything come together and actually materialize, it's really awesome. So,
where does it go from here? Where do you guys envision this conference? I mean, now that it's here, it's a real thing. I mean, what happens in the next several years?
This is the first one, and I think a lot of people are just observing to see what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to we want to live up to our title, Android Open, and kind of focus on what it means to be open and what it means to kind of bring the entire ecosystem together. So that's there's a lot of work to be done on that. So this is just a start.
Though I will say, you know, tomorrow during lunch, we're having a mini maker fair, which is really going to focus on kind of the make DIY side of Android. And what people are doing hardware hacking wise. And I think in the coming year, I'm hoping that Tungsten is out by then, and I'm hoping that we start to see more home automation, more wearables, more Android on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that next year's conference is really like an explosion of just all different form factors, and not just phones and tablets, but like everything. Dishwashers and refrigerators all shaped like Androids.
What's what they talked about at Google I.O. this
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
So.
That's cool. I mean, that's because it's interesting to see how the innovation can come, especially with an open platform like Android, where, you know, once everybody gets the understanding of the software development and all that sort of stuff and starts doing phones and tablets, but then seeing how they push the envelope not only on those devices that we use every day, but also expanding into the homes and things like that.
When I was at CES, you know, there's the main floors where people pay the big bucks, and then there's like the back alleys where there's the little booths, and I swear, you know, there were just, you just walk down those alleyways, basically, and there's just Android on almost every other booth. And, you know, there are TVs running Android, not Google TV. They're running Android modified versions. And I think we're just going to be even more of that at CES this year.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. I would completely agree with that. One thing, you know, we've kind of gone to a few of the conferences and the talks that have happened. Actually, we went to your brother, Alexander, right?
Yes.
He did a talk at 10:45 on securing Android. And kind of the things that I've really appreciated about the show so far is it's for the entire kind of landscape of Android. Android enthusiasts. It's for the people that are making a business out of it. It's for the people that are just starting to learn how to program for Android. It's for the people that are just kind of fans of Android and want to soak it up a little bit more. That talk I went into thinking, okay, is this going to be a little bit too nuts and bolts for me to understand because I'm not a developer? You know, in my mind, I don't have that kind of sense. But I walked away from it with a really good understanding, just at a basic level. He did a fantastic job of kind of breaking down kind of the challenges and the layers and everything that goes into really making Android a secure platform. And I think that's fantastic. It's not just for the top, you know, people that are really nerdy about code. It's kind of more for everybody. So,
you know, Marco, you've seen a lot of like crazy Android gadgets and even made some. Can you share with some of those?
And those are great points. I mean, that's something that's very unique about Android. You can't do it in any other platform, pretty much. Over the years, I've worked on anything from putting Android into cars. I'm talking about the entire dashboard, everything being powered by Android, to putting it into set-top boxes, not the Google TV set-top boxes, mm-hmm. to even barges up in the North Pole that are sitting up there and, mm-hmm. you know, for months and months. And we're going to have a keynote tomorrow on putting Android into space. So these are all really exciting, places where Android can actually participate, which is not possible with most of the other platforms. And Sasha's talk on security, We can open this thing up and figure out how it works and make it secure, and that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you guys at O'Reilly always have this like history of the DIY, kind of the tinkerer, kind of the moving it beyond. So it kind of falls in. You know, I've been to some of your other conferences, mm-hmm. and it's neat to see. I can't really think of another opportunity like with an operating system like Android and the opportunity to get people in a room to see what can come out of it. Have you had conversations here with people at the conference and where you just didn't even expect what they're doing, or you're kind of lighting a fire into some other developers to do some cool stuff?
We're seeing a lot of interesting conversations, from people. I mean, I was just at a presentation on wearable computing. I think that's something very, very interesting.
We got to wear those watches, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, WinLabs, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Android is becoming sort of something that you're going to have on you 24/7, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, plus, you know, the additional billion people going online using Android, using the cheaper devices. So, I think, you know, the proliferation of Android is going to escalate.
Yeah. And we should mention that you guys are live streaming most of the panels and the keynotes.
Or is it all
online?
Of the panels?
Is it everything?
We are live streaming the keynotes and we're recording the sessions for future viewing.
Okay. And they're going to be archived.
Yes.
So, those of you out there who are watching this and, you know, want to know and see some of these great panels, you can see that soon, and some of it live.
The keynotes will be starting up tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Oh, great.
Pacific time, androidopen.com/live.
Yeah. Now everything else is being recorded. Do you have to be kind of like a member of O'Reilly to get to those recordings? Or?
I think some of them will be made available for free, and then some will be available on Safari, electronic library platform.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent.
Along with our books. Tomorrow's, just real quick about tomorrow's keynotes. You know, we've got Will Marshall from NASA talking about launching Androids into space. Dave Merrill of Siftio, formerly Siftables, like the small block computers that people know from TED. And we have Crazy Bob from Square.
Yeah.
All coming in to talk. So, I mean, it's going to be a pretty good day.
Awesome.
Cool stuff.
Right, well, thank you guys again for allowing us to be here.
Yeah, this has been an honor and a privilege to kind of be part of this.
Thank you for coming here in the first place.
No, we're really excited.
I love a growing community like this. I mean, it's great to see a conference sprout up. You've got hundreds of people at home watching, our audience watching. I mean, it really showed, like when I got my first Android phone when the G1 came out, I feel like this is like, okay, now we're getting started, you know? So it's cool. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, well, Marco, we'll let you go. Brady, you can stay.
All right.
We'll bring in our first guest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marco.
Thanks, Marco.
Our first guest is Eric Burke, engineering manager over at Square, who had a beautiful apps.
Without knocking.
How you doing? You had a beautiful apps panel today that we actually attended this morning. So,
thank you.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah? Good. This is different.
What's the response basically since your panel this morning?
It's been great. Several people have walked up to me and shown me their apps. Like
is this beautiful?
Is this beautiful enough?
Looking for that seal of approval, right?
So the first thing I say is I'm not a designer.
Okay.
Right. But I try to give some advice. I'm looking at these apps and I'm really impressed. I think there's a lot of good stuff coming on Android. I think people are getting the message that design is important. And some of these apps, people are really pushing the envelope of what's possible. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool. I think we're just going to see a lot of really nice stuff coming on Android. So, you know, for me, I hope I can play a role just to kind of inspire people and educate people. It's really hard to create apps that look nice on Android sometimes. The APIs are kind of hard to work with.
Is it a symptom of the APIs not being very very easy to kind of get the good stuff out of?
I think that's a big part of it. Like one thing we did do recently is we changed the font in our application to Helvetica.
Okay.
So across the board font. It seems really simple, right? Yeah. We had a developer spend probably 2 to 3 weeks hacking Android to make that possible.
Wow. I would have just thought it'd be like a search replace.
Yeah, you would think.
Especially of all fonts.
The
god of all fonts to go to Helvetica.
Yeah. So I'll get really geeky, but we had in our base activity, we had to write a custom view inflator and intercept all the XML being loaded. And every time we saw a font, we have to replace it with Helvetica.
Wow. And does that impact performance of the application at all? Or because you're adding extra processes, right?
You got to be careful for sure. The way the inflation works, though, they're doing kind of that stuff anyway, so we just replaced the built-in one with our own custom inflator. But, you know, to a designer, the choice of a typeface or a font is really critical.
Sure.
You know, they choose those for a reason. So as a developer working at Square, you know, we're very design-driven, so... you know, I'm not a designer myself, but I am obsessed over how perfect my UI is. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think that's almost puts you at an advantage. I mean, not being a designer, but being a developer and being made to implement those designs, it kind of gives you a different perspective and appreciation for that design because you've got to make it into reality. I mean, you're changing a Photoshop, I would assume, is a, you know, either a mock-up or something like that, and then making it real in real life. So, while you're not designing it, you're still helping build it.
Right. And also, it is very unique to work at a company where the designer actually has a big stick, and they can say no, and they will say no. So every feature we put in the app has to go through a design review, and they nitpick and look at every little dot and everything.
Wow.
And then once that's done, we have a Jack review where we have to sit down and show our app to Jack Dorsey.
Wow.
And he does the same thing, and he tears it apart. And that's always awesome. I actually like doing that. It's fun.
Do you walk in there sort of nervous? Like, is he going to tear this apart? Oh, do you take bets?
I had just assumed that the stick's name that the designers wielded was Jack.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a separate review.
Yeah, we literally go before Jack. And it's great, though. It's great. The product speaks for itself, I think. So.
Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, the person who cuts my hair actually uses Square for payment transactions. So that's been my only exposure to Square. But, you know, a few times at this point. And, I mean, it's just... It's an obvious app, and I think that's kind of part of what you were talking about in the way that UI is kind of put across in an app. It needs to be obvious when you pick it up, and you were talking about kind of increasing the size of things, maybe not cramming so much into a display, making things a little bit bigger. Sure, you're kind of peeling back the overall all the millions of things that you can do with the app, but it just makes it more usable. And when you're talking about a four inch screen, something that tiny, it needs to be usable.
Right. Have you tried the card case app?
No. Well, you showed it off today during the talk. It looks fantastic. I haven't tried it yet.
So if you get a chance, go buy something with card case. It literally feels like you're stealing.
Because you don't have to do anything. You just sort of like get your coffee and walk away.
I wrote it, and I walk into like Sightglass Coffee with card case, and it feels like you're stealing because you just walk up, say your name, and they're like, yep. And you never do anything.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of a magical experience.
I think that's part of it. I mean, like, I recently in San Francisco, I went to the Alternative Press Expo here in the city, which is kind of like a comics and arts kind of fair. I saw so many people using Square across multiple, not just, iOS, iPads, but I saw a bunch of Android phones and stuff like that.
Yep.
And when you get to that critical mass of the, I remember when you guys first came out, and like, we all used it because it's cool, and we're, you know, paying dinner bills and paying each other back and stuff like that. But to see it in people who aren't tech savvy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really using it for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you were talking a little bit ago about kind of the APIs not making things very easy, and that was actually ties into one of my questions that I kind of came up with in advance, which is, what are some of the ways that you think Android itself can be improved to kind of make this kind of effort easier? Because in your talk, you were talking about kind of like, you know, rounded corners and it being edged out, and if you just, as a developer, think a little bit more about how you're implementing these things, you can make it look very pretty. But that seems like you're kind of working around the limitations to a certain degree of coding for Android when you're doing that, or is that just smart coding?
Well, as far as what Android could do better, I guess, it's neat that Apple has a human interface guidelines document that really lays out in detail how you're supposed to develop a UI for Apple. And we don't have anything comparable on Android. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I say that, but then I start thinking, you know, is Google really the right one to do that? I don't know if it's in their DNA to even do anything like that. Like, their view is let everybody do whatever they want, which is kind of counterproductive to usability. You know, one example, the built-in clock application on the Nexus S. So I pull it out, and I'm showing the designer, and I had never noticed this, right? And he just looks at it, and he's like, that's the stupidest thing ever. Like, what are you talking about? Well, on the Nexus S, the home button is right there on the display, and then when you load the clock app, they have another home button right above the built-in home button, right there.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Why would you do that?
See, home button, home button. Probably can't see that, but yeah, you're right.
So now that you pointed that out, I look at it and I can't not see it. He ruined the clock application for me. But similar things for like the back button behavior. Like, we have this internal debate on what is back supposed to do. Is it supposed to cancel, or is it supposed to save, or what? And surprisingly subtle things. Like, I made a very good argument, I thought, and I listed all these Google apps that used back button in one specific way. And then the designer came back and he made his own list also of Google apps that use the back button in a completely contradictory
totally
way.
Totally different. Oh,
and
oh,
I was
wow.
Like, I think I just lost this debate. I don't know what to
do. Well, it's often at Google, we always talk about how the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. Mm-hmm. And because they've got so many little, you know, so many units all developing stuff, you know, independently.
Right, right.
And, you know, but they are, I think they're making steps in the right direction, I think.
I think things are improving. I'm really excited about Ice Cream Sandwich because mm-hmm. of the hardware accelerated graphics. Mm-hmm. I really want smooth animations like we can do on iOS. I want that on Android, so I'm really looking forward to that release, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make Square take advantage of that. So that's probably the most exciting thing as a developer that's coming is the animation stuff.
Oh, right on. Yeah.
So just as a background, what were you doing? You said you worked over at you've been with Square for about a year and a half. What were you developing before that? Or what were you working on before that?
So before Square, I worked in St. Louis in corporate IT, and I hated my life. I've always done Java. I've been doing Java since the early days. I've done like the full stack in Java, but I historically have migrated towards client UI development. I've done some web stuff in Java, some swing programming, but just something about user interface design just always appealed to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, when Android came out, I really got excited about it because it was a chance to do mobile app development with a real JDK, essentially. Now, I know it's not Java, it's Dalvik and all that, whatever. I'm not involved in the lawsuit, but I can say it however I want, I guess. But before that, it was J2ME, which is this lobotomized 1.3 JDK. It's really ancient and just horrible to work with. So with Android, you can use all the modern APIs. You can use Java 5, generics, collections, all that stuff, and it's a way for me to take what I already know and finally get into mobile development. So mm-hmm. that's what attracted me to Android.
Yeah. Right on. I think we would probably be remiss if we didn't bring up the topic of NFC.
Right.
If that's something that you could talk about a little
bit.
Just as far as how that translates to what you guys are doing at Square. Do you guys see NFC as a possible kind of threat in the near term, or kind of think you're doing something a little different?
I think we kind of view card case as just leapfrogging NFC. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about all the, like, your hair person using Square, you know, and all these people at festivals and whatever. They'll be able to become card case merchants and accept payments. I'll be able to walk up with card case, open a tab, and make my payment without having NFC. They don't have to get any special hardware or whatever. Mm-hmm. So all these Square merchants are just going to turn into card case merchants. Also, technically, we could always add NFC if we wanted to. It'd just be a software enhancement. It's just a mechanical way to pay. It's just a software upgrade to what we currently have. So I guess I don't view it as a huge competitor to us because we're leapfrogging it. But even if we had to do NFC, we could put it in the app and it would just work. So
well, then you're kind of proof against it anyways if you end up integrating NFC. If it becomes so big that you can't ignore it and you know you have to integrate it, sounds like you guys have the ability to do that. So
yep.
It's a good position to be in.
We're not worried about NFC.
I didn't think that you would be.
I don't have time
to
be worried
about it. You're like the Square rep right now. We're like, we got to ask the question. Well, very cool.
Right on.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
I really appreciate you stopping by, and it was a great talk.
Awesome.
We walked away
with
it. Even as a non-developer, I walked out, you know, and you did use a lot of code.
You
and
did.
Throw a lot of code up there. But there
well,
were some
you
kind
know
of
how to
big...
make round corners. Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Well, the round corners and the size of the buttons, which I didn't get to ask you about.
You need to appreciate what goes into the rounded corners.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Right on. Well,
awesome.
Thanks again, Eric.
All right.
Really
appreciate
all right.
You.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Have a good rest of the show.
Yep. All right. I guess we're going to bring in our next guest. The
like,
I know.
Roll, yeah,
we're rolling.
The...
We're almost professional here today. Our next guest is the founder of O'Reilly Media. We'd like to welcome Tim O'Reilly.
Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. How are you doing?
Good.
Nice to meet you.
How's
thank you very much
hey,
for
Tim,
chatting with us.
I feel a little left out that I don't have an Android pin on.
Oh, do you want to?
No,
oh,
sorry.
Right.
Many
that's right. I should take my phone out so it doesn't interfere with
yeah,
the mic.
Yeah, there's something right there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, how's the conference been for you so far?
I think it's great. It's really exciting to see the kind of energy here. It's actually really buzzy.
Here, you know, pass this over to Tim.
Oh yeah, we don't want you left out.
All right.
Now you want one of us. So
one of us. One of us.
All right. Be distracted putting this thing on.
No,
that's all right.
All right.
If you
want to
set it
on
the table,
hold on to it.
Okay.
So your keynote today was what Android can learn from Steve Jobs. And I know that I got a few snarky comments from Androiders on my G+ account. They didn't listen to your talk. They didn't, you know the full breadth of your account. But for those of them out there, the way you can maybe briefly summarize what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just sort of an interesting way to pay a small homage to Steve Jobs while also drawing a distinction between the iPhone and Android. You know, and really what I took off from the heart of the talk was a wonderful quote from Steve that was in a Fortune magazine interview in 2000, but it was reprinted in an article in the New York Times the other day, in which he said a lot of people think design is like interior decorating. It's the couch or the fabric of the curtains. He said instead it's the soul of a product expressed, it's the soul of a human, creation expressed through successive layers of the product. And so I said, when you're thinking about competing with Apple, don't think about, well, we're going to make slick designs for our products. Think about what is the soul of what Google does. You know, what Steve was so good at was he stood up for certain values that he really believed in. Now, it turns out that Google has different values, mm-hmm. And so I kind of went through, Google's original access to all the world's information and, was something in Sergey's recent founder's letter where he was talking about, that was our original goal, connecting people to the information they need, and that's we pursued that religiously ever since. And think about that as the core of what Google does so well. I kind of took a little detour through some of their side projects, things like Google Translate or the Google Autonomous Vehicle. And I remember people saying to me, why are they doing that autonomous vehicle? It's not connected with their business. They go, you don't understand Google if you don't understand how that's so central to their business. And so there's this long-term vision that Google has that is about cloud data, about connecting people to data, and actually creating data through human, what I'm calling man-machine symbiosis after J.C.R. Licklider's famous paper from 1960. And what I don't want Android to do is to fall into the trap that so many companies fall into when they're trying to be somebody else.
Right.
And of course, that was one of Steve's messages. Don't try to be someone else. Don't live somebody else's life.
Sure.
Live your own. And Google has this incredible vision. And the reason why I gave this talk is because it's sometimes easy for companies to forget what the core of their own value proposition is. And I know I've struggled with this over the years at O'Reilly. There's some things we've done that I felt have been very O'Reilly-ish and that have succeeded as a result because they spring in this sort of surprising way from some core of who we are, whereas other things that are more externally driven kind of run out of gas because, they don't have that same you know, that same core impulse. Mm-hmm. And one of the things with Android, you know, it was originally launched as an open platform. You know, Google, again, in the founder's letter from 2007, you know, Larry Page said, we're trying to bring some of the openness and innovation of the internet to the phone marketplace. Well, you know, so then the question is, okay, is Android really sticking to that? Are they working with their community? Are they really believing that that is part of the core mission of Android? Or do they have iPhone envy in some way? You know, are they saying, oh, well, actually, you know, gee, there's better monetization on Apple, or we ought to have more control just like Apple does?
You're right.
And, you know, to me, if the soul of Google is to, you know, try to bring that internet style of openness and innovation to phones, that should be a filter that drives their decision making. And you know, there is that powerful impulse to say, well, we can get further by, you know, controlling the media, controlling the community. Well, and I used to, as a slight warning, you know, what Sun did with Java. You know, they were kind of half open. Mm-hmm. And you know, they kind of played with the open licenses, open standards, but they really didn't engage the open community. And so, again, part of it for me here, as we are trying to bring together that open community, you know, wanting to see us, you know, make sure that Google continues to honor the principles with which they started Android and reach out to the community in an inclusive way.
Well, that kind of, I think you roundabout answered my next question, and this was actually our chief twit, Leo Laporte, said, ask Tim, is Android open enough? And it was interesting because, and I thought about it during your presentation when you brought up the Gruber slide.
Yeah.
When you, it's sort of, you know, you showed one quote about Vic Gundotra talking about the openness, and then the other quote.
Yeah, Daring Fireball. Right. He made a link sort of saying, effectively, he quoted Vic Gundotra's speech from last year's Google I.O. where he was talking about, you know, if we hadn't acted, you know, we'd have a future in which the world was controlled by one man, one carrier, one vision.
Yeah, right.
You know, we had to act. And, you know, and then there was, he contrasted that with a quote from Business Week saying, you know, Google limiting access, and now everything has to be approved by Andy Rubin. And he was kind of pointing up the irony of that contradiction. And, you know, again, I don't, you know, I obviously, you know, you can have a lot of commentators who can position things however they
spin.
Like, but, you know, often it's worth paying attention to those signs. And, you know, one of the things I really worry about with Google, I believe that it is a company with really noble ideals in a way that we have not seen before. And it's easy for a company that size to fall into the trap of not living up to its own ideals. And, you know, I saw this, for example, you know, part of where I formed this, I didn't go into this in the talk, but, for example, with Google Books, mm-hmm. which I consider in many ways one of Google's failed projects for all that did a lot of good. And one of the reasons it failed was it tried to control that ecosystem too much. I wrote some blog posts back when it was in this was in its first debate, you know, why book search should work like web search. You know, the fact is there should have been an attempt by Google to build a search engine to find ebooks wherever they are. And instead mm-hmm. they said, well, no, we'll make this big repository of ebooks and we're going to, you know, point everything to our own repository. And that was not very Googly. And, you know, so I sort of started thinking about that as a kind of touchstone that Google ought to be using. You know, when they do things that aren't Googly, ultimately they get away from them, you know, and they need to trust their own, you know, again, that core, you know, what Steve Jobs called the soul of who they are, and use that as a filter for their product decisions. Yeah, I guess when I was in high school, I took a aptitude test, and it said I should be a preacher. So you just consider it kind of a
sermon. My test told me that I needed to be an actress.
Man, well, I did not remember my test, but I know I took one. All, probably, yeah, I have no idea.
We're all doing some version of what it told us.
I know, exactly, exactly.
Well, I'm curious. I'm curious. You know, being here after a couple of days at the conference and talking to some people, how do you think the open Android community is doing? You know,
I think the open Android community is just rocking it. I mean, I think the level of innovation is terrific. This hardware innovation, I love what I'm seeing here with a lot of hardware innovation, and that's actually really, really important.
It feels like that's still kind of in its somewhat infancy too. Not talking hardware like phones and that kind of stuff, but really kind of the open hardware initiative.
Yeah.
You know, that they talked about at I/O and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a little bit of that going on right now, and it feels kind of crafty and kind of like, well, what can we do with this, with the Arduino and all that? But I really feel like in the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot of really crazy things coming.
Well, that's the thing that I found really, really interesting. When I was at Maker Faire in New York a few weeks ago, somebody remarked who'd been at the Open Source Hardware Summit, say, why are all those people covering TechCrunch Disrupt and none of them came to the Open Source Hardware Summit? This is where all the really disruptive stuff is happening right now. You know, and that's so often the case, you know, and something that we've watched over the years at O'Reilly. The next disruption is coming out of left field from a bunch of people who are doing it just because they are just so crazy in love with what they're doing and they haven't figured out a business model yet. They don't really care. You know, they just want to make the future happen. Mm-hmm. And right now, a lot of that is happening, you know, at this cutting edge, you know, around the maker movement and, you know, hardware innovation. And Android plus Arduino is a sort of a killer combination in that space.
Well, very absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you so much. We're very honored to be here. Thank you for joining us today.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
And for sitting and chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks. Well, what's your impression of the conference?
Well, I feel the energy is really high, and everybody's buzzing around here. Everybody wants to share and talk, and just, you know, I have people coming up to me just saying, hi, where are you from? That's great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's such an open feel. I feel, you know, comfortable.
I love some of the in-depth stuff that we're hearing and some of the people playing with new business models. I think there's a lot of innovation happening here, and it's terrific. And it's coming. The thing that I've always believed in is bottom-up innovation. You know, many times over the years at O'Reilly, we've had debates about this technology or that, and people said, oh, this one has got to win. It's got this company behind it and that company, and look at this big consortium. And I'm like, but where are the, you know, the bottom-up adopters, you know, because the really cool stuff comes bottom-up, not from, you know, sort of a bunch of companies signing on the dotted
line. They kind of bubble up and eventually kind of take
over. So,
yeah.
You know, Android certainly has those big company alignments, but there is also this amazing bottom-up energy, and that's the sure test of when you say, hey, there's something really happening here.
Absolutely, and that's one of the big things that I've really come to love of Android in general and the community around Android over the last couple of years. People are just pumped about the platform, you know, no matter what kind of skill level they are, if they're just kind of into it because it's a fun, cool thing to have in their pocket, you know, everywhere they go, up all of the way up to the people that are coming up with these really creative, unique kind of ideas like you're talking about. And it's very easy to be a part of that community because everybody's as charged up as everybody else. And I feel a lot of that here. So I've been really impressed.
I do, too. I think there's some amazing stuff coming. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it, Tim.
That was Tim O'Reilly.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You know, an app inventor, which still actually exists,
it
is a good example of that.
Yes.
I went to the app inventor discussion this afternoon and kind of saw it in action. App inventor is just one of those things that I keep telling myself I need to actually use it eventually, but I haven't. But, I mean, it looks ridiculously easy to use once you get your mind around it.
We had one of our audience members during the show created an app that I said,
really?
There should be an app that does this. And by the end of the show, he's like, here, I did it.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I should have gone to App Inventor. Instead, I went to 50 business models in 20 minutes.
Whoa.
Which was pretty good, too.
It's a lot of business models.
Well, let's bring up our next guest, Peter Hoddy, Vice President of the Kimona platform on Marvel. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good
to see
you. It's actually Kinoma.
Kinoma,
it's a common mistake.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry about
that. Join the club.
Cool. Excellent, Peter. So, so you're here talking about you kind of launched Kinoma for Android here at the conference. Tell us what was that like? What was the whole process of bringing it to the Android platform?
It's been fun. Kinoma Play has been around for 2 or 3 years now. It was on Windows Mobile, on S60, and other exciting legacy platforms. We've been working really hard to get it onto Android, and we're here at the show to introduce that to people. And Android Open's the perfect place to do that because we really are an alternative. We're not... we're not doing everything in exactly the Android way, and we're exploring on a platform that's open for doing that.
Yep.
And the wonderful thing is here is people are totally into that. You know,
cool.
they're not asking why, they're just asking what's cool about it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. You can talk a little closer to your mic, that'd
yeah.
be great.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
so for those of the uninitiated, what is Kinoma? I mean, you know, I know you mentioned it's been around for a while. I know it's yep. been on the Windows platform. What does the platform allow developers to do?
Well, first, the real question is, what does it allow users to do? And it's a really great way to experience applications, incredibly high performance. Heard the guy from Square you were talking to earlier say yeah. he can't wait for the next version of Android so that they can get some good animation. We've been getting it for a lot of versions of Android. So software counts for a lot, not just the hardware.
Sure.
But you know what we realized is people just have too many apps, and checking them all the time is tedious. You know, your Android notifications gets full, your home screen's got stuff blinking and buzzing and dancing in front of you. And so we developed this thing we call a dashboard, not a very original name, but a really beautiful concept that brings together apps that perform common tasks, like to tell you what's new on every app on your phone, if you're in a location, to show you all the location-based information. If you're listening to a song, to show you all the different information from all the apps that are available at that song. And so instead of treating apps as the top of the platform, the last thing you make, we see them as just a stepping stone to the next level up, where we can use apps to build the next great experience.
Wow, cool.
And at what layer does Kinoma kind of come into play? Is this like an app, like an alternative launcher type approach? Or I don't really understand exactly where it fits in. Is it a new version of like a new ROM that you run in that's based off of Android but looks completely different? Or is it something that you can install on any phone?
It's a great question. And from Android's perspective, it just looks like another app. So you don't have to rebuild your ROM. You don't have to do any rooting of your phone or any other untoward acts. It just installs.
You'd be limiting
like
yourself, obviously, if you went
that
route.
But. So we play by the rules. We think we pass all the conformance tests that Google says. But we can take over your home button and be your home screen or not, depending on what you want. And so users interact with it that way. And for developers, what it does is it really changes the equation. So in two ways. First, it makes sure that those apps get in front of users more often, because instead of thinking, which location-based app am I going to use when I arrive at the hotel, just run them all at once. Okay? If you're a small app that doesn't have everything that Foursquare has, but has really amazing information, you know, about optometrists in each city or whatever, you can make a tiny little Kinoma app and plug that in, and people who want it will have it right in front of them. So you're on an equal footing without having to kill yourself. The other thing that's beautiful is how you write these. So Android is built on this crazy powerful Java programming language. It's a wonderful thing. No religious war here. Yeah. But you kind of have to like have a degree in CS to use that.
Sure.
And that's limiting. That's limiting. And what we found from our experience building apps for years is that scripting languages are the way to go. So what happens then is most people end up in a browser-based environment, and then they're slow. So you get a trade-off, ease of development or a great user experience. And we've found a middle course where we're using the scripting language from the browser, we're using JavaScript, but we're getting performance that meets or beats what the native applications are doing.
Right. How do you like the Android development environment and distribution, you know, markets compared to the other platforms you've been on?
I mean, it's great. It's really not a big deal. The Android market is, you know, very, very open, so it's not hard to get something in there. It works, gets the job done, and it lets us deliver the experience that we want. So, I mean, I think that's really great, and I hope that's something that Google stays committed to as time goes on.
Well, and that's, I find it interesting because, you know, like we spoke with, we're talking, you're using the word beautiful a lot, and we're talking about user interface and things like that. And one of the biggest criticisms of Android is that it's been very developer design focused and very functional. Clearly, you see some potential in the platform to create beautiful interfaces. Do you think that we're moving in the right direction in terms of the applications that can be developed?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Google is moving forward their vision step by step, and they're doing a nice job. You know, the stuff that they did to accommodate tablets, for example, makes perfect sense. RenderScript is a really interesting direction. Yep. You know, we've got, from our experience and our priorities, a different take on that. And I think the great thing is they can kind of coexist, and developers can make a choice based on what they need. Yep. A one-size-fits-all solution is I mean, just not going to cut it for everyone.
Right. And so now, in terms of the Kinoma platform, I'm sure you're encouraging a lot of developers to check it out and to work with it. Have you seen some examples, or did we show some examples here at the show that have been?
Yeah, we've only let the IDE out to some private developers. Yeah. So we've got some limited examples, but really fun. You know, I mean, something that surprised us, we built the platform kind of to do media, social networking, and communication. But one developer said, "Oh, your animation's awesome. I can do a game." And we're like, "Really?" And he did. Yeah. Took him a week or so to get it going. It was beautiful. Really, really gorgeous. And so people are taking it, and even in the very early days, kind of stretching it to do what they want. And Marvell's been really open-minded about this. They're taking it. We're going to release the whole thing under open source. So people can say, oh, you know, the platform's great, but my vision for user experience for a phone is this. Go build it. We'd love to see it. You know, I think the experimentation is really, really key, because who knows where the next great idea is going to come from.
Right. Cool. Excellent. So if developers are interested in the platform, where can they go? Where can they get more information?
So at the show today, we opened up a website called developer.kinoma.com. Okay. And we got a few things there that are really interesting. One, you can actually read through some annotated sample code of how a Kinoma Play app works and just see, like, is this something you'd like to learn more about? It's really nicely done, so you can really learn, not just read code blind. You can sign up to get the SDK. It should be available, we think, early November. Yeah. We're also hosting an event at Marvell, free, for a couple days at the end of October that you can sign up to participate in. We just come hang out with our engineers for a couple days, learn how stuff works, and build something together.
Cool.
And then the other thing, which is really in the spirit of Android Open, is everyone asked us, how do you get this stuff to be so fast? And the presentation that I gave earlier today, I just said to my team, give me your best tips on what we did on the Android NDK. So a bunch of the engineers put together their notes, and we poured it into a presentation. And so it's our gold. It's our, like, these are some of the really hard lessons that we spent weeks and months learning for how to get great performance out of Android. And they're up there for anybody to read on the website now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's great. So how was the reaction to your talk and here talking with developers?
I don't know. People loved it. And it's been really nice. You know, the developers here are looking for ways to express themselves. The conversation doesn't begin with a kind of a technology orthodoxy about this is the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The right way is the way that gets me to a result on the timetable I've got.
Yeah.
And we have a really interesting story for a bunch of them there. And so it's been a blast just showing them what we're doing and talking them through the details.
Great. Awesome. Well, you're doing some exciting stuff. I mean, I was checking it out, and it looks very cool. So, I mean, any way to keep those elegant animations and to get the applications with a better user interface and keep the speed, I think that's a great
Absolutely.
Alternative for developers. So.
You know, and it's really, I encourage the people who are listening to this to go and check the videos out on the website, because it's one of those things where when we're talking about it, you're going to say to yourself, I think I've heard about stuff like that before. But when you actually see it in action, it's a really different thing. And so take a couple minutes and do that.
Cool. Excellent.
Great. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, thank you
so much,
Peter.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to have you.
Thanks much. Really appreciate it.
Congratulations. Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. I don't have any screenshots to hide behind. I guess that'll come in post. But this episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. If you haven't been to Squarespace.com before, you should check it out. It's got a really easy-to-use UI. It's the exact reason why I signed up for Squarespace about a year and a half ago. It's super easy to tweak. It's got it's optimized for beginners, so if you've never built a site before, you can use it very easily, as well as CSS experts. If you want to go plugging in that code and get really geeky with it, you can do that. Tons of design templates to choose from. There's apps for iPhone, iPad, Android, all sorts of apps that you can kind of update your blogs as you go along. Tons of support resources online that you can find. And, you know, moving your blog over is actually extremely easy as well. You can just kind of plug it in, it'll move your content over. And then if you ever choose to leave Squarespace for whatever reason, you can take that data and all that content and port it out as well. So they're really good at letting you have access to all of your content. Tons of like widgets for things like Twitter, Flickr, Facebook, all that kind of stuff that you can kind of embed right into your page using their pre-coded widgets, and it makes it look really slick and easy. So if you want to try Squarespace, go to squarespace.com, and you can sign up for a free trial. You can actually do it right now and sign up for a free account. No holds barred right there. No credit card needed, nothing like that. You can just try it out and see what you think. Then if you decide to purchase it, go ahead and use our offer code so they know you came from us, Android10, and you get 20% off for 6 months. So again, that's squarespace.com. Use the offer code Android10 and sign up for some Squarespace. See what you think.
I
think
you'll love it. Bring back that Jason's thumb ring.
Yeah.
It might not be up anymore.
Oh, those
three sides. Unless the person that created it. put some money into it. I think after a couple of weeks, it goes away. But
or any fun.
What we need is we need a sponsor for Jason's Thumb Ring.
Please.
Did you see? Oh, you haven't seen it yet.
I think
but
we
you
need a
postcard.
Jason's Thumb Ring Android app.
Yes, oh, yeah. 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 Someone help Android app inventor for that. There you go.
See what Jason's Thumb looks like with different rings.
Yeah. There'll be a button that says, show me Jason's Thumb Ring, and you hit it.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Share Jason's Thumb Ring with Twitter. I see a huge potential here.
Great.
Instill Thumb Ring Graham.
I'm a little scared at this point. Okay, yeah, go ahead and do that. All right, so let's divert to the next topic here. We're going to welcome in a couple of folks from HTC, actually. Come on over, guys. What's
Come
up?
On
Hi,
over,
this
guys.
Is you're Michael Ludden. There we go. Michael Ludden, who's a developer evangelist of HTC.
How's it
going? How you doing?
Very nice to see you.
Jason gets David to shake everyone's hand.
That's right.
I know.
I just do my little hey.
I get to do it.
He's
not
the official greeter.
David Wu, who is a programmer for HTC as well. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks yeah, you have to talk into the mic. Yeah.
We were told the mics were specifically placed.
Yeah, it's a little awkward with those mic stands, but
yes, just go right into it. Yeah.
Sidle up here.
Yep.
Well, it's awesome to have you guys here. David, I know that you had a talk a little bit earlier. You are very integral in kind of developing Sense, but more specifically into FriendStream. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, cool.
Actually, the talk is tomorrow.
What's that? Oh, you have. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Your talk is tomorrow. Otherwise, I would have seen it today.
I gave a talk earlier today. But, hey, it's all good. It doesn't matter.
We'll come back to you. My apologies. So, David, I was just kind of hoping to kind of get your sense, no pun intended. That was not, well, okay, maybe it was a little intentional. Just kind of on how your approach on integrating kind of the social integration into Sense and kind of what have been some of the cool things you walked away from in developing that side of Sense?
Okay. Well, one of the toughest challenges in implementing FriendStream or, you know, trying to get the user's social experience, not the phone in general, is that we want to make sure that all the apps and all the widgets on the HTC Sense framework be able to sort of query that data, right? That social network data from, you know, across different online social services. And that's actually a lot tougher than people would think on a mobile device. Sure. Because you really have to look into the battery problems and how much bandwidth you're using. And that's a real big concern. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. That's yeah. Right.
So that's one of the things that we really look into and make sure that you know, we get all that data, but we don't compromise the user's bandwidth and battery usage.
Yeah, it's kind of a delicate balance when you talk about integrating all these social kind of networks into your phone, because on one hand, people really want to be able to have all of that information kind of streaming into them, like, you know, regularly and as updated as often as possible and everything. But like you said, on the other side, you end up against kind of like battery restrictions and, you know, just kind of data restrictions. If you have a capped data plan, you can't quite do that. So I have to imagine that pulling that in and doing it in a economical way against the battery is kind of the challenge. What have you learned around that specifically? Like, how are you accomplishing that?
Well, we've learned that it's really, the solution is always going to be a trade-off, right? I mean, people really want fresh data, but at the same time, you really can't do that because you want to, so the... There are actually two approaches that we do this. The first thing is that we monitor the device states. Like, we basically monitor whether, say, for example, if you're on, like, a GPRS connection, then we don't sync. We don't necessarily need to do, like, a background sync of all your social network data.
Yeah.
The second approach would be you don't want to sync all, like, everything. You want to sync just the important data. So, for example, if you want to do like a background sync of all your contacts, that's not necessarily good, right?
Sure.
You only want to like sync data. Say, for example, you want to identify which of your contacts are the important people in your life. Mm-hmm. You want to, after you identify, you know, having identified that, you would know, you know, who to fetch the data from.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. With Sense, I know, and just with kind of manufacturer overlays just in general, I think the common kind of thought in the world of Android, particularly here, is that it means longer time for things like new versions of Android to kind of get rolled out because, you know, then the manufacturer has to kind of go back and kind of tweak their overlay. How do you give people what they want? They want a new version of Android, but they also, you know, they want, obviously they want you to do the tweaks that you need to do, right?
So I can speak quickly to that. So it's interesting, at HTC about a quarter of the employees are engineers. Mm-hmm. So they're working on the HTC Sense portion and on the Android portion. So those are two separate development cycles. And so the development of HTC Sense, as you see, with the launch of some of our HTC Sense, the newest generation of HTC Sense devices, like the Sensation XL, which we announced a couple days ago in London, and some of the other devices we've announced, is a separate thing. So there hasn't been a new version of Android, obviously. We're still on Gingerbread right now. And yet there's a new version of Sense. So they're innovating, and they're finding new ways to do things and speed things up and make it easier on people, regardless of whether or not the next version of Android comes out. Now, when Google decides to release the next version of Android, then we get working on that immediately. And again, we have a ton of people working on that. So judging by our track record, I'd have to say I don't think that's been an issue for us. We support products like the HTC Desire, which is one of the older phones, obviously, to the latest version of Android. And I think we have there's some crazy numbers out there in regards to the number of devices that HTC has Sense on that actually have the latest version of Android as well. So I think historically, and that continues to be really, really important for us to iterate fast.
Yeah, yeah. I only bring this up because I had a Thunderbolt for about 3 months, borrowing a Thunderbolt for my wife. But I mean, that's kind of a big running thing right now, right?
Is it has Gingerbread.
What's that?
It has Gingerbread.
Well, but there was a rollout of Gingerbread, but that kind of got pulled back, right? Because there were issues with it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to the specific issues, but like, I know that, you know, the fact that it launched with Froyo, right? And it got updated to Gingerbread less than 6 months after launch, right?
Sure.
So I think that's still a pretty good, pretty quick turnaround given the challenges of tackling a new technology like LTE.
Yeah, sure. That's cool. How about another kind of interesting conversation? I would probably be expected by a lot of people in the chat room to at least bring up the HTC Logger kind of situation. No worry, I don't have anything too crazy here, but I'm just thinking, you know, we should kind of check in on that. Yeah. Obviously, that was an issue that a lot of people, you know, that kind of freaked a lot of people out.
Yeah.
For you know, good or bad, it freaked people out, whether there was any kind of real true threat at that point or not. Are there kind of any updates to or news to report on that front?
HTC is working on pushing out a software update as soon as humanly possible. I mean, this is like priority one internally. I can tell you, I was at events. I was in London at DroidCon a couple of days ago, and I can tell you that's pretty much all we talk about. Like, we're working on this immediately because, while you say it's The program has to be malware, right? It's not going to be in the Android market. It won't be allowed in the Android market. We have zero use cases of this happening to people, but it's important, right? There can't be something like this left unfixed. So the latest update is we're pushing out a software update as soon as possible to close that loophole.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Would you say that, I mean, could you go out on a limb and say that there were any like specific lessons that you kind of walked away from this particular situation from, or...
As a company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of seemed like...
Sure. You know, it sounds like, and I don't think either of us were too close to the situation given our roles, but it sounds like that was a particular software bug that we needed to pay more attention to, and now we are. And so going forward, I think we're a little more informed on little things like that. So
that's cool.
It's a learning process, as always.
I mean, that's part of the reason why everybody's here, right? It's all Android as a platform is a total learning process at this point. Another thing that's really kind of impressed me about HTC, and I know a lot of others because I happen to really enjoy kind of opening the bootloader on my phone and unlocking it, is the fact that HTC as a company, more or less at this point, has kind of embraced that. But I know it isn't rolled out to all devices at this point. But I do know that there are a lot of other kind of manufacturers that don't embrace unlocking a bootloader quite like HTC does. What kind of convinced you to go down that road specifically?
So I can actually speak to that because that's the exact team that I'm on. I'm on the HTC Dev team. So htcdev.com is our new initiative. We launched the website about 60 days ago. And on it, you have the OpenSense SDK, which is our open set of tools for developers to add functionality on HTC devices without actually causing fragmentation. So it's differentiation without fragmentation. Then there's also the bootloader section.
Yeah.
And so we do have a bootloader unlocking tool. And then there's also kernel source code. And I think the reason our entire program exists is to respond to the community. It's sort of as a response to the community to say, we're listening, you wanted this, we're giving it to you to the best of our ability. And so that's kind of why we decided to come up with a bootloader unlock tool in the first place.
Has it come with any headaches?
Absolutely. I mean, there's certainly a ton of details involved with it, but I can say it's kind of exciting. We're adding several devices very, very often to the list of devices that are unlockable with the bootloader unlock tool, and we'll continue doing that as quickly as we possibly can.
Sure. Well, I mean, a general question for both of you. Is there anything really exciting that you can actually talk about that you're kind of working on right now that you want people to know
He's
about?
He's getting excited.
I mean, yes. It's exciting to me.
Well,
and I hope
that's
it's
what
exciting.
I'm hoping for. I want it to
I
be
get excited
exciting.
Easily, though, but I hope it's exciting to everybody. So with the OpenSense SDK, we already had a couple of APIs to build in extra functionality. Like our tablets have the Scribe Pen, right, which is one of the first times anybody has ever done a second input method. So you can do things like rest your palm down and then write, and it won't, like, smudge because it's not a capacitive stylus.
Yeah, right.
It's another layer of interaction, and it's actually more accurate, pressure sensitive. We can record that data and stuff like that. And then we also had S3D, stereoscopic 3D. But now we have announced that on the roadmap, we're going to open up a Beats API.
Oh,
so we're
going
to allow developers to hook into the Beats headphones. So with the Sensation XL, you actually plug in Beats headset, and it says Beats up on the top. And a lot of people think this is a gimmick, but actually it allows us to use a specific set of software tools to enable what Beats and HTC consider optimized sound for Beats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's currently available with the first party application, but we're looking to open that up, and we're still figuring out the details of that, but that's on the roadmap and we can talk about it, so it's good.
Oh, that's
that
is
really
very exciting to me.
That is legit cool, man. That's cool.
That's what I was looking for. That's the kind of stuff I was looking for. Well, you brought it up, OpenSense, which was another thing that I kind of wanted to ask you guys about, because that really, you only really launched that in August. What is OpenSense for developers who might not know?
Sure. So OpenSense is our SDK. It's an add-on to the Android SDK, so you can just plug it right in there. It's just an add-on to the Android SDK. Pretty soon, in the next version, you're actually going to be able to download it from within the tool set. So you won't have to go to our website, but you will have to register. Very simple process. We actually ran a contest where we were giving away some devices, and we had developers take their existing app and add in something like pen functionality, right? Mm-hmm. And they did it. They had to do it within 24 hours. We had 5 apps in 24 hours from these different developers. It's really simple. It's all on htcdev.com. And the reason we think that's valuable for developers is because it allows you to differentiate your product on HTC devices. So let's say you have a game, right, or just a drawing app. And on any other Android device, it works with your finger. On an HTC device, it actually measures pressure with the pen if you want it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one app. It's in the marketplace. It's enabled for HTC Flyer. And now you're competing against maybe hundreds of apps instead of hundreds of thousands of apps, right?
Right.
So hundreds of apps that use the pen. It also allows us to promote you in our channels. There are opportunities for cross-promotion, new markets. So, for example, in China, on HTC devices, the HTC Hub is how you get apps, because there's no standard Android market in China. I don't know. We think it's a win-win. That's a lot of the reason I'm here. We're very excited about the tool set, and people can download it in a couple of steps on the website.
Well, how has the conference been for you so far? I mean, we've been asking everybody. They've been asking us. I mean, what's your feeling on the vibe of, you know, Android Open so far?
It's really great. I really like the energy here, and it's just great seeing, you know, a lot of developers, and everyone is interested in the Android platform. As a developer myself, it's just great to meet new people, new friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your last guest, NDK, is interesting. Very interesting. What did you guys think of that?
The what's that?
The last guest you had on.
Oh, with the Pomona
what
stuff? Yeah.
I was in the beginning of that session. I wish I could have stayed longer. That was really
that
exciting.
Stuff looks really interesting in terms of it taking the interface and the animations and stuff like that to in a way that I didn't, when I was reading into it, I was like, oh, they're going a different, like, it's kind of an end run around.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
No, that's cool. No, we're enthusiasts too, right? Like, we're developers. We're excited.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you're talking about the last guest. I mean, that a lot of kind of the same concepts seem to come to play with Sense. I mean, overall, taking all of these kind of individual streams and feeds, combining them into one, making something that's really beautiful and pretty and easy to use. I know personally for myself, of all the overlays, like I'm one of those that prefers, you know, the vanilla experience, but of all the
But of all the overlays...
I fist pumped too quickly.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Of all the overlays, Sense is absolutely my favorite. And I was really happy to kind of get the chance to spend, you know, three, almost 4 months with the Thunderbolt and the Sense overlay just to get my own idea of what I think of Sense. And I walked away from it with a very positive outlook on it. And I didn't expect that.
Yeah, you should try Sense 3 as well. I think Sense for us is honestly more of a design philosophy than anything, because everything from to the core of our company is all about making everything you do with Android a little easier, a little faster, and it allows you to do more. So more in fewer steps is one of the pillars of Sense, like the lock screen, right?
Yeah, the lock screen.
So the lock screen of Sense 3 you can unlock directly to something like your camera or something. Little things like that. We're not trying to bog you down with a lot of different things. I mean, you can speak more to that.
Yeah, one of my personal favorites is the call display. You know how, like, on the call, when someone calls you and you see the call display, there's not only the name and the photo. There's also the Facebook, or, you know, the newest Facebook status update or the newest tweet. And say, for example, if someone's birthday is coming up, it'll show up on your call display as well. So right away, when you answer the phone, you already know what to talk about.
I've literally done that, where I'm like, hey, happy birthday. I was about to call you. What's seriously helpful for a forgetful person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So these are the kind of things that, you know, we... it's like user experience, right? Yeah. You really want to know what your user want. And it looks simple, but it's very simple to do. But it really goes a long way to the user.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So this is just a general question from the chat room. Ooh. From JC. I like this question. Wanted to know what did you see for the future of phones? Do you think they're all going to be 5+ inches or not? I was having a discussion with Jason and another friend of ours at lunch. My phone is 4.3. Everything I see is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That really cancels me out. I have a hard time thumbing down to notifications down here. Yeah. I mean, sorry, I have smaller hands. Seems like all the guys are loving it. Yes, bigger, faster, stronger. What about me?
Yeah.
Well, Eileen, have you seen our newest device?
Is this the
HTC Rhyme?
I have not seen the Rhyme.
It's the Rhyme.
It's not that big, and it's...
But this isn't mauve.
That's a prototype phone.
It's not the color. Yeah, the plum color, right?
Mauve.
Yeah.
I have talked a little bit about the commercial with the six arms thing. I'm not loving that one. Sorry, guys.
Do you use the dongle for your bag, or...
Where's the dongle?
You mean the charm?
The charm.
He doesn't have one, apparently.
Why not?
It's a prototype phone for engineers.
So we got a lot of
engineers.
Questions about, you know, is this a phone for girls? And obviously, he has it. So I actually love the phone as well. I love the form factor.
The phone itself
screen
is
size.
Fine. And I actually like the mauve color.
You know, in general... I think HTC believes in choice, right? We got a lot of different form factors, a lot of different types, and there's no one size fits all, right? Like, everybody's different. You're all unique. You know, you've seen our U campaign and all that, and that really is a design philosophy. So we'll continue to sport, you know, multiple display sizes and keyboard types and things like that.
I actually like the way it feels in my hand.
That's one of the first Sense 3.5 devices as well.
Yes, I did notice that. Yeah. I did notice the new Sense here. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It very much has the old Nexus, the Nexus One kind
it
of evolution.
Like
that's
it.
A good phone. I've seen a lot of Nexus Ones around here.
I love that phone. I had that phone for a year. That was great. Yeah.
You know, I think that people are really going to decide how big phones get or Taylor's. Because if they keep
Taylors?
Making pockets bigger, then they're just going to keep growing.
I this thing in my pocket. Yeah. So
you should take a look at the Sensation XL. Just take
is
a look at that.
What is that?
It's
a
4.7-inch screen, but it's super thin. I love it. I love it.
4.7?
I love it.
It's like a TV screen.
It's huge.
Enormous.
And I love it.
Yeah. Of course you do. All the guys love it.
No, for me, I like a bigger phone. I mean, I have kind of big hands for my size.
Right, that's what
I'm
saying.
And I don't mind. Like, I want to set it down, you know, watch a movie on it.
Right.
There you go. Michael.
But I'm not you. So there you go.
Right. I'm not you.
Everybody's hands are different. Yeah.
But that's the beauty of choice.
Exactly.
I like the way this feels.
Michael, David, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with
us.
Really appreciate it.
We're huge fans of Twit, both of us, honestly.
Yeah.
We're so excited to be here.
Oh, right.
We need to visit
on.
The brick house sometime.
Please do.
Absolutely.
Please do.
Cool. Swing by.
I actually listen to your show in Taiwan almost every week.
You flew from Taiwan for this. Yeah. You flew from Taiwan for this.
I flew more than 7,000 miles.
Oh, my
gosh.
Wow.
Well, that's a big
awesome.
Compliment.
Very cool.
I'll give you back your phone.
Thank you.
That feels really nice.
Take care. Have a good rest of your conference. Have a good talk tomorrow.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You have the great work.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
I think that does it.
So who's next? Who else we got?
That's it.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. Brady, any final thoughts? Anything comes to mind that you wanted to share?
You guys to get a reel of the hardware tomorrow. A keynoter that I forgot to mention is the guy, Jay Sorek, the fellow behind Cydia, is going to be speaking tomorrow, and he's got a nice little announcement that's coming out.
Yep. Okay.
For Jay Freeman, a.k.a. Sorek. Sorry.
Okay.
I've heard from a few people about that talk, and
it'll be a good talk tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Wow, exciting. Exciting stuff at this conference. I'm digging it. It's really
tomorrow,
good. Yeah.
Tomorrow there'll be a couple of news items that get dropped.
All right.
And so, for those of you listening, downloading this a couple days later, you'll be able to, again, to see the archive probably.
Yeah. We put the keynotes up pretty quickly.
Okay.
Like the this morning's keynotes, some of them may already be up.
Okay.
They'll definitely be up by the end of the week.
And what website should they go to for that? Android Open? Or?
You know, they're actually like androidopen.com/live.
Yeah.
I think we'll have links to the keynotes. Okay. And then if you go to the individual keynote page, that's where we put all the videos.
Got it. Okay.
And then there's also an O'Reilly Media YouTube channel, and that's probably just going to have them all.
Awesome.
Cool.
Cool. Anything else to plug on your end, or?
Plug. Let us know where you want us to come next. We could consider doing an Android Open in Asia, in Europe.
You know, I'm just saying Hawaii. If you do the next one in Hawaii, we'll have to come out.
I don't know if that's really hitting a different market.
The luxury developer market.
Right on. Well, Brady, thank you so much for inviting
me.
Brady.
Well, thank you for coming out. Yeah. It was really great to have you here.
Awesomeness.
And I'm looking forward to judging startups with you.
Yes, apparently I'm going to judge startups.
Cool. I'm jealous. That's awesome.
I'm judging you.
Awesome.
Right on. All right. Well, that's it for us. Ron, plug quick.
Yeah, I don't just go find me about.me/RonXO. It's all there. I'm tired. All you need. They'll plug next week. Yeah.
That works, too. I'll do my about.me/Eileen Rose. There you go.
And I don't remember my about. I do. About.me/Jason Howell for some reason.
Oh, look at you going legit.
For some reason. Yeah. All right. That's it for this week, you guys. Send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, so that we can play it on next week's show. Email us. Leave us a video mail, aaa@twit.tv. You can hit us up on Twitter, @AndroidShow, for the All About Android on Twitter. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch our show every Monday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, at live.twit.tv. That's it from the O'Reilly Android Open Conference. We'll see you next week.
Awesomeness.